Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream, you could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil!
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast, the podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith. Rust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pocket, Neverlanders, sprinkle some pixie dust around, grab your happiest thought, and let's fly away to Neverland. It's me again, it is your Spider Pan Jeremy, here to lead the way, and guess who came along?
Hi.
Well, you're supposed to introduce yourself.
Oh, okay. I'm the Wendy Nerd. Wendy Nerd, yes.
Heather, yes, she's back! You haven't co-hosted in a long time.
I know, I've been lost in thesis land.
Yeah, I've been lost in a lot of different work. Always either grading papers or a thesis. But you get to come along with me, yay! Because we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk some Beauty and the Beast memories. Plus, we went to go see the movie yesterday.
Yep.
So we'll be able to talk about that. Plus, did you know Pirates of the Caribbean hit its 50-year anniversary yesterday?
You might have said something to me about that.
I might have. But you've never gotten to write it, but that's okay. We're going to talk about it anyway.
Okay.
I have found some interesting facts about each that we'll go over. But of course, before we do that, you know, we've got to have some fun news and information to share with everybody.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Alrighty, you know, what would be an anniversary for the Pirates of the Caribbean without some new things going on? So, there's some new things going on, some like food. What can you tell me about the food?
Well, apparently they're kind of going with some pirate grub. You get some piratey things to eat, apparently, and enjoy. And that is starting March 16th, so it currently is happening right now. So there's a Caribbean breakfast burrito that is being offered at the Mint and Julep Bar and Royal Street Veranda. So it sounds kind of interesting.
Ooh, scrambled eggs and what is this? Andouille sausage? Do you have any idea what that is?
No, it's probably French sausage of some kind.
Yeah.
Versus like Italian sausage or something like that.
Yeah. With rice and sweet potatoes, black beans, and cheddar cheese. That's a burrito. I kind of like. I'm gonna try one.
Sounds pretty good.
If anybody can explain to me andouille sausage, though,
I might have to look it up when we.
Yeah, that's something to look up because I'm usually down with sausage. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. So then we have a Calypso Caribbean chicken stew. I feel like I'm announcing school lunches.
chicken stew to pronounce it all the
chicken
way.
Chicken stew. Yeah. Yes. So we have a Caribbean spice chicken stew with carrots, onions, celery, potatoes, and yucca. So yucca, yes. Yucca is edible. I didn't know it was edible.
But. And that's at the Royal Street Veranda and the Harbor Gallery.
Okay, and so here's something us in Kansas City can get behind is a Buccaneer pulled pork sandwich.
Well, but this is slightly different from pulled pork, I'm sure. It's not that, mm-hmm. We're used to a good barbecue.
Well, this,
but
is,
this
gonna
is Buccaneer.
Have, yeah, this is going to be sweet. So it's got pineapple, Caribbean style slaw.
Jerk spiced pork, though. Mm-hmm. What is jerk spiced pork? Is that some jerk in there in the kitchen who's spicing it any way he wants?
Maybe so. I don't know.
You tell him you're allergic. He's like, really? I'm going to put that on there because I'm a jerk spicing your pork.
I don't. Maybe I have no idea. Maybe that's the way they pull it apart. They jerk it apart.
I forgot to give him a French accent because this is the French market restaurant. So, aha, I am the jerk. You are allergic to the spice. So I will give it to you. Okay, I'm sorry to all the French people listening to the show.
I will forgive you.
Well, you have a little bit of French.
Yes.
But yes.
One of the few things we know I am.
Yeah.
All right, so then we have a steak sandwich. Was it Cafe New Orleans?
Or Cafe Orleans.
Cafe Orleans. See, I can't say New Orleans.
You want to say New.
New Orleans, sorry.
It's the old Orleans, not the
it's
new
just,
one.
It's just Orleans.
Steak sandwich sounds boring. What's on it?
Well, it's not just steak, so we got some cheddar sauce, some bacon.
Oh, white cheddar sauce.
White, okay, and bacon jam.
What? Time out. Bacon jam?
Hmm.
What in the world? Are they making, I mean, is that like a... ground up bacon, they make like a jam thing to spread. What in the world is bacon jam?
Sounds good to me. It sounds like something that came out of like the 60s or 70s, like cookbooks or something.
It's
like
a happy
that
bacon. It's jamming.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
it's got bacon in it. I'd eat it.
Arugula, which is a type of lettuce.
Yeah.
But it's got more kick to it. And then cherry tomatoes.
And you're in. There's cherry tomatoes. You love cherry tomatoes.
Yeah, I love tomatoes. And then sweet potato waffle fries. So.
Sweet? Well, see, I'm not big on
sweet potato fries are awesome.
I don't know what
you're missing.
Oh, I know what I'm missing. I've had some.
Don't
I didn't like it.
Don't know what you're missing.
Oh, but there's a cheddar sauce, a white cheddar sauce. So maybe you get a little bit off the sandwich. You dip your waffle fries in it. Because I love waffle fries. Just sweet potato. I don't know.
You don't know what you're missing. Okay.
Oh,
and then,
I know. I don't
and then
like
we've
it.
Got Fruits de Mer, which is blue.
Fruits de Mer. You have to get that Bayou of de Mer.
Whatever. Okay.
I think they were supposed to say it that way.
It's at the Blue Bayou Restaurant, and so
Can I tell you something fun about the Blue Bayou Restaurant?
Okay.
That is the restaurant for anyone who doesn't know that in Disneyland, where you get onto the Pirates of the Caribbean and you're floating along the Blue Bayou, there's a restaurant right there that overlooks the Blue Bayou. And that's the Blue Bayou, and it's the restaurant. You can actually eat right there as people are kind of coasting by in the opening bit before they actually get into the Pirates.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so that's one of my bucket lists. If I ever get to Disneyland, I want to eat there.
Okay, so what this is we've got Red Snapper, which is pan-seared, and we get some shrimp with that.
That is a type of fish.
Yeah. And scallops, and so we got hush puppies, spicy shrimp sauce, and remoulade.
Remoulade. You got to love this. Cajun cooking.
I need to learn how to speak French, I guess.
Yeah, but so okay, I've never eaten scallop. Have you eaten a scallop before?
Yeah, scallops are awesome.
I've never eaten one. Sauteed shrimp, though, it would be pretty good. I could go with that.
Yeah.
This is mainly just, I guess, a dish of a lot of different things. That's kind of all together.
Well, it's the bayou, so you've got a lot of like seafood type of stuff. Yeah. And then your remoulade sauce, which is awesome. I love.
I've never had that before either.
There's a salad you can get that's got marmalade sauce on it.
Sweets shaped like Mickey.
Okay, so
are we shocked? Sweets shaped like Mickey? Don't say.
Yeah, not terribly. Okay, so we have beignets.
Lost treasure beignets.
Yes. They're shimmering like gold. And
they look like little
lemon
Mickey
flavored.
Mouse cookies. So
they're lemon flavored, they shimmer like gold.
Lemon flavored Mickey Mouse cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the mint julep bar and a Cafe Orleans.
Okay.
So you get something that'll kind of wash down your big seafood dish that we were talking about. I forgot what it was called. Keep going.
And if that's not sweets enough, we got golden churros.
These are any churro
park.
Yeah.
So there'll be some golden churros out there for you to enjoy.
I don't know if there's... I mean, looking at the golden churro, I mean, I figure it's going to be like a regular churro with the cinnamon and all the goodness that you expect from a churro. But it's got like a golden sprinkle on there that
it's
I don't
probably
know.
Probably lemon, some type of
you
lemon.
Think?
Or
maybe they did like a lemon kind of churro?
Sprinkles or something like that, yeah.
Either, if it's a lemon, I would eat that too. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
I probably shouldn't eat it, but I would.
Yep.
You're on vacation. Calories don't count. Oh, look! look, more fun kind of stuff even.
And then there's a Jolly Roger.
Jolly Roger Punch. That means if you meet somebody named Roger and he's too jolly, punch him.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
So violent. So
hey, they're pirates. We were supposed to fight pirates, right?
Okay, whatever. Yeah, anyway, so we got a bunch of tropical fruit juices mixed up in this thing.
Oh, yes.
Comes with a limited edition Stein of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pineapple, orange, and mango. Including. There's probably more because it says including, but oh my goodness, I want one of these.
Oh, it sounds pretty good.
Plus, you get a Stein. Because I like a good fruit. I mean, granted, the calories are going to be, with all the different fruits, you're probably eating a whole bowl full of stuff.
Like you said, you're on vacation. You can't count
calories. Calories don't count when you're on vacation.
So you can work it off when you get back.
The Jolly Roger Punch is available to anybody named Roger. No, okay. It's at the French Market Restaurant, the Mint Julep Bar, the Harbor Gallery, and the Royal Street Veranda. But there's more than food. There is entertainment that started on Friday, because the official anniversary was actually the 18th here. There is... when you wander New Orleans Square snacking on pirate food, you can also take in amazing entertainment from the Bootstrappers and Lucky the Pirate, which I guess is kind of the standard stuff. The Bootstrappers, I've got to see some video of them. They are very, very fun. Sing a lot of good old sea shanties and pirate songs. And I have no idea, Lucky the Pirate. You know what would be funny to me? I have no idea what Lucky the Pirate is, but if he's going around and he's got like two peg legs and two hooks, like he's lost everything, both eyes may be covered in a patch, like it'd be a joke of that. Yeah, you're Lucky the Pirate. That would be awesome.
Well, he wouldn't want both eyes covered because then he couldn't
see. Then he couldn't see. But you know what I mean. Yeah, that would be actually pretty funny to me. There's also going to be a lot of merchandise available around New Orleans Square. Yep. And there's even an online land and sea sweepstakes. Looks like you can post your pirate-inspired photo to Twitter or Instagram with hashtag PiratesLifeSweepstakes, and you get a chance to win a trip for four to Walt Disney World and a Disney Cruise Line trip to the Caribbean. We're on it. We need to come up with something good to take a picture of. I'm keeping a mark of this. We got to do this. Something pirate-inspired. I don't know how long we have until it's due, but I'm finding all this on Oh My Disney, so everybody go and check out. Here we go. It ends on April the 30th of 2017 at midnight that night, so make sure you get your entry in. Take a pirate-inspired photo and then hashtag it PiratesLifeSweepstake when you post it to Twitter or Instagram. We got to come up with something because I totally would love to win that trip. Trip for four. We'd have to take two people. Yeah, wouldn't it be fun
We're
to take your parents
lucky.
With you? Oh, but, well, I don't know if luck has anything to do with it. I think you just need to take a really cool photo. Oh, hey, this is cool. I bet you haven't got to see these photos yet.
Probably not.
And I think I think somebody posted it to Skywalking to Neverland's forum group or something. I think that's where I first saw it, but then I started seeing pictures everywhere else. But, you know, they're building Star Wars Land.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There is a framework up for the AT-ATs. And it's clearly, you can see like an outside edge, but they've got framework around it. Like when you're building a building, you're building a framework around and you're building something, a structure inside.
Yeah.
But it's clearly AT-ATs or AT-AT if someone's going to be, it's an AT-AT. But, you know.
They're AT-ATs.
Yeah, they're AT-ATs. You people are of the dark side or something. You're wrong. So, but, oh my gosh, that's exciting. That's really cool because, like, it's. I know it's a long way off, but just seeing little bits of it getting slowly built in, you know, like, you know, by the time it's built, we got to be able to go. We will have money by then. And this was kind of neat. Josh Gad went over into the Magic Kingdom in Orlando and went to the Be Our Guest restaurant, which is another bucket list place I want to eat. Although I hear the food is very kind of French inspired, so you might not necessarily find something you like to eat.
What's wrong with French?
Well, not everything is really something that you're going to... That's what I've heard. It's like
no,
some people
escargot really, for you?
Yeah, no. But you might not necessarily like the food. But the restaurant itself, from what I have heard, there's a main dining area that is the ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
That you can also eat in the West Wing. And the flower is even there, the rose. Very, very cool ambience.
So, remind me, Josh Gad.
Josh Gad. LeFou.
Okay.
Which... actually getting to see him as LeFou. But when we listened to the soundtrack for Beauty and the Beast, we were sitting there saying, I can't help but I see Olaf singing
Olaf
these.
Dancing around, yes.
And then, but there he is. We get to see him in the movie, which we'll talk to you later. But he showed up on, what was this, Friday? And actually led people doing a sing-along of Be Our Guest inside the restaurant.
That's fun.
That is awesome. That would be a lot of fun. I just, that'd be really cool. That's one of those kind of just rare, fun moments you wouldn't expect. Almost as fun as, and I shared this, where some CBS show actually had some of the cast of the movie out performing songs from Beauty and the Beast going across the crosswalk outside of a CBS studio, which I've shared that photo, that video. If you're not part of our Facebook group, this is a good time to join because I find fun stuff and I share it. Oh, I'm sorry to turn it sad now. You probably read, did you see this yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Chuck Berry, and I'm always going to remember Chuck Berry for the little bit there in Back to the Future, which is why I can bring this up here. Where they have Marvin Berry, you know, faking a thing, where Johnny B. Goode, you know, Michael J. Fox is playing Johnny B. Goode, which is a Chuck Berry song. And Marvin Berry holds the phone. Hey, Chuck, it's your cousin Marvin. You know that new sound you're looking for? Listen to this. And he holds the phone out. You know, and that's funny, like as if, you know, he's influenced the song Johnny B. Goode. But Chuck Berry, fantastic guitarist, great performer. A lot of people say he is pretty much the reason why we have rock and roll today. So that's
huge influence for sure.
Huge influence. So it's kind of a sad loss, but I had to mention it just because of the Back to the Future reference, you know, because we love Chuck Berry for other stuff. You know, a lot of great old songs, but I have to throw that out there. But I'll let you announce something here.
Okay, so Disney Afternoon Games return to the PS4 and Xbox One, and that starts April the 18th.
Yeah, now, did you ever get to play any of these games?
Nope.
Not a single one. And, oh.
Nope.
And I don't have the remastered. Well, this wasn't a teacher time. But you had a Nintendo, but I guess you didn't, you know, you only had a handful of games. But these were old Nintendo games from the Disney Afternoon. I mean, the DuckTales, Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, Rescue Rangers, and they're bundling it all together. But this, I was kind of hoping for remastered versions after the DuckTales remastered. I love that. I need to actually buy a copy. I got to play it for a free weekend or something. I beat the thing. I don't own a copy of it. But these are the, like, just regular Nintendo games that you get as a bundle, really inexpensively, actually, on April 18th, that they're going to put it out as available.
What you have to understand about the Nintendo, I didn't get it until I was in college.
Well, but, okay. Yes, that's not the point. But, yeah, still, you know, that's really cool. Now, the one thing I wonder is, okay, so DuckTales, you do a lot of your stuff by pogoing on your cane as Scrooge McDuck. And with the old Nintendo, you had to, like, push down and be and all this complicated stuff to do it. Now, on the remaster, they made it simple where you just hit one button so you could pogo on the thing, and so it's a lot easier. Now, I wonder if they have the controls in this, they've adjusted it to where it's a little easier to make your balances. I do wonder about that, but that's really kind of cool, because I know a lot of people have wanted that Darkwing Duck. They said it was great, although Darkwing Duck, the little bit I've seen of the original Darkwing Duck game, it pretty much played like a Mega Man game, which you've never played one of those either.
Nope.
I have, and they were harder than heck. I was not a fan. They were a pain. Oh, look, more depressing news. We are now officially 1 month away from Star Wars Celebration Orlando, and there's no way in heck I'm ever going to manage to go.
Yep.
Yeah. Can't afford the trip, can't afford the ticket, and I don't even want to talk about all the cool people who's going to be there and all the special guests, because it'll just be depressing, which is why I haven't really brought it up, but I figure I can't ignore that it's going on.
But for those that can go...
Tell me about it. Come on the show, because I would love to hear, you know, your stories and who you got to meet. And, you know, at least I got to fist bump, he's always going to be Lando, but Billy Dee Williams there at a convention.
Yeah.
Oh, and golly, I have audio from his panel, and I don't think I've ever shared it. I'll have to share that. I know, I got video of it, too. I will make sure I do that. All right, now I get to share something. I don't know how to come at this. I just started seeing this yesterday morning. But, okay. Sony, when they were doing the Amazing Spider-Man movies, and they had Amazing Spider-Man 2, they started saying, oh, we're going to spin off, we're going to make a Sinister Six movie, we're going to do a Venom movie, which is going to be great. They had all these big plans, but Amazing Spider-Man 2 underperformed, so Sony went back and negotiated, and they're part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they're relaunching Spider-Man once again with Spider-Man Homecoming. But now there's this rumor that's going around, and all I've seen, they've all gone back to this one Twitter account that this guy tweeted it. But I have not seen any evidence from Sony or anywhere that, or any other website that didn't mention this guy tweeting it. But they're saying, he was saying that there was a Venom movie coming out October 2018 and a Sinister Six spinoff. I don't know that that is at all in the plans at this time, because now they got to get into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and there's a timetable in there. And really, if you're going to do something with Venom, you really need to tie it back into Spider-Man, or it's just going to be garbage, and no one's going to want to see it. And I'm sure Marvel Studios knows it would be garbage, and they're going to say, no, wait a minute. If you're going to do Venom, we got to do it right this time.
Well, and that's a real short time frame to start, you know, because Venom's going to be big. You want to start pumping this up
soon. You need to tell the story right. You need to do it right. And then, yes, you could have Venom go off on his own, but you need to get his origin in there. I would love, because Spider-Man being part of the larger Marvel Cinematic Universe, I would love for them to actually find a way to do the Secret Wars, because you've got enough characters in the cinematic universe now. After you get, you know, Avengers Infinity War dealt with, you could work your way into the Secret Wars, where the Venom symbiote actually comes from.
What is it? I have no idea what the Secret Wars are.
Secret Wars was this Marvel thing where this being called the Beyonder grabbed a bunch of heroes and put them on this kind of battle world planet that kind of helped out with almost all their whims of what they needed. Whatever they needed, it seemed to produce for them. And Spider-Man's costume gets torn up in a battle with this villain, Titania, which was created actually by Dr. Doom on that planet. And he's like, man, I really need a new costume. And he gave his web shooters to Reed Richards to help build something to help get them back home. And so he had no web shooters, he had no costume. He's like, man, I really need something. And with this weird thing, machine, you know, oh, look, a costume that produces its own webs. It was like perfect. He didn't realize the thing was alive. You know, that came along later.
I feel like I've seen this in a cartoon form or something.
Yes,
like
they did present it in the cartoon, but the Spider-Man animated series did have the Secret Wars later, but they actually did Venom in the first season before they even did a Secret Wars, and they had it come from a meteor. You know, so. But okay. I would love to see the Marvel Cinematic Universe take that step and have the Secret Wars and then work your way to Venom. The comic style, I tell you what, you'd make a lot of nerds happy.
And including then, you, including this nerd, yes, right here.
That would be really cool. And then, you know, then you could definitely branch off with Venom and have his own movies because, you know, at a good long time there, Peter and Eddie Brock kind of reached an agreement where, you know, Venom is like, oh, well, I guess you're not as bad as I thought you were, and so I'm going to go to L.A., you're going to stay in New York, and we just won't cross paths and bother each other anymore. There's your solo movies for Venom right there. Sending him in L.A. and have it be Eddie Brock and have him be the lethal protector. And I've seen some people say, oh, well, this better be an R-rated movie because you could get more violent with Venom, that's for sure.
You don't have to.
But you don't have to. I wouldn't recommend it myself.
No.
Let's not look at, you know, Logan and Deadpool as the example for the main Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't think you need to push it that far.
There's lots of kids that know, like this stuff, and it's not necessary.
I don't think you have to push it that far, personally. Yeah. But yeah, that's what we got to say about that. But now it's time to go visit the trailer park.
Woohoo!
Mama, now the Gator got in the house.
Now the Gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Oh. Get him, Mom. Oh. Get that Gator. Ah.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
I have to sing. I have to play. The music, it's not just in me. It is me. When life gets me down, I play my guitar. The rest of the world may follow the rules, but I must follow my heart. You know that feeling? Like there's a song in the air and it's playing just for you.
A feeling so close, you will reach out and touch it. I never knew I could want something so much, but it's true.
Never underestimate the power of music. No one was going to hand me my future. It was up to me to reach for my dream, grab it tight, and make it come true.
All right, who's in there?
I'm sorry. What's going on? I'm just dreaming. Dante, wait up! Dante! You gotta stay with me, boy. We don't know where we are. This isn't a dream then. You're all really out there.
Okay, so, what was the first... I showed you this yesterday, didn't I, Coco?
I think it was in front of Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, it was. You are correct. Yes. What was your very first thought when you saw...
Honestly, it reminded me of a couple of movies that have come out recently.
Kubo, by chance?
Kubo was one, but immediately with the whole Dia de Muertos, you know, the Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
That's been
Dios
done.
Dios de los Muertos.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
It's a complicated Spanish word.
Anyway, so because we had the movie, The Book of the Dead, that came out. It's not, it hasn't been too long ago.
Yeah.
Where we kind of dove into that world.
I think there was even another movie even themed around that about the same time. Not to mention there was that Tim Burton movie, The Corpse Bride, that a lot of the style of the world, Land of the World of the Dead, did almost seem to have that style without the flowery paintings on the skulls, but the shape of things kind of reminded me.
I think that one's far enough away that I don't think that's going to come to mind.
But, yeah, it seems, you know, we've seen a lot of movies like this. Now, I know Pixar's been working on this for a very long time, though. So that just kind of happens to be that way. But, yeah, there's one point where, and I guess the lead character, Meaty Little Boy's name is Coco. I'm not sure what the name means. That might be his name. But apparently from what we learn about this is that his father was this, you know, famous guitar player.
That's what's implied anyway.
Implied, and maybe he was on those novellas or something, you know. It's implied that it could be his father. But he goes and grave robs to steal the guitar. And when he plays the first notes, a very Kubo moment happens. But he is somehow transported into the world of the dead. And that's all we know.
Yeah. Well, it's just a teaser. They're going to have to really come out and show something that's different than the other movies that have come out recently, I think, in order for this one not to flop.
Yeah. Well, it's Pixar, so I don't think it's going to be a flop.
Well, I mean, people are going to come gonna go. And see it.
I'm probably going to love it.
Because it's Pixar, but they're going to... I hope there's Pixar something more than just a teaser to get us interested.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Generally, Pixar, what you know, they've done is they have a little teaser that just... It's nothing really that you're actually going to see in the movie sometimes. You know, they did that for years. They have come up with a little teaser just to kind of get you interested, and then you get a full trailer later. Like Monsters Incorporated did that, and The Incredibles... Of course, I'm trying to think of more recently if they've I don't think they've had that practice so much of making a little self-contained teaser just to kind of introduce characters. So we're probably seeing some footage that actually is in the film this time.
It makes me worried a little bit for them.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't get me as excited as I thought it would, other than the fact that, okay, it's another Pixar movie and I just love Pixar. I love everything they do, pretty much. So they have that going for them, but it didn't really capture my imagination yet. But I want to see where this goes. I'll wait for a full trailer, which I'm sure is forthcoming, because Coco is due out this fall. But now I think it's time for a little movie review.
There'll be spectacle, there'll be fantasy, there'll be daring do and stuff like you would never see.
Maybe a movie.
Yeah, we're gonna be a movie.
Starring everybody
and me.
Boy, I wish I were you people seeing this for the first time.
Kermit, I got a great picture of the chicken.
Oh, good.
So as you said, we went to a 3 o'clock showing yesterday of Beauty and the Beast, where we saw the Coco trailer. And we got to be careful. Most people, I think, saw this because I saw everybody saying what they thought about it all over Facebook yesterday. But that doesn't mean everybody has seen it. We have a couple of friends that were planning to go maybe later today. I went in, I set my expectations very low because I love the original so much that every time I heard that they changed something, I was like, oh, wait, don't change it. It's like the perfect movie. Please don't change it too much. You know, I kind of get that way. I'm like, so I said, you know, I'm going to set my expectations really low. Let them impress me.
And I kind of was the same way. I was kind of concerned by some of the things that I had heard early, people's impressions of the movie and things like that. So I was just kind of like, well, I mean, it's not the original. They're redoing, they're changing some things. So I want to go in really liking this movie, but at the same time, it's going to be different. So I'm not gonna hope for the magic that came, you know, when I was a kid and we saw, you know, Beauty and the Beast for the first time.
Yeah.
Or even the book, even the story that I loved from even my childhood, you know.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things to love about this, a lot of things that are kind of, it was kind of neat seeing, you know, I like that there was a bit more connection to Belle and her father with, you know, we heard a change like her being the inventor as if her father's not. Well, her father's mechanical. And so it just kind of showed that the time that she spent with her father, she's learned some things and she's very helpful and she's very creative like her father. And there's something I thought was a little unnecessary. I liked the fact that she developed a little washing machine barrel. I found it very unnecessary that the villagers get so mad that she stops and sees a little girl there and she's, you know, decides, well, while I'm washing stuff, this, you know, hey, let me show you a book and maybe teach you how to read. I don't see why the villagers would be so mad about that. And that's so mad that they take her washing thing and dump all her laundry out. That seemed a bit ridiculous to me. I was like, that's where I could criticize there. I'm like, why would they be that mad, you know?
I don't. Well, okay. One of the things that this was the schoolmaster, okay? So you had...
And I did notice that they had all boys at the school.
So there is a point to be made that the boys get educated, but the girls do not. And this guy is kind of feeling probably threatened because someone else is teaching, and that's not okay to him. And he does, and you kind of get early on, like, he's not really a big fan of hers. Yeah. So,
but the main reason they're not supposed to like her is that she's very aloof, and she's always stuck in a book, and they're just like, well, she's always reading, and her interactivity is a little bit limited, perhaps, and they don't understand her. But I don't understand that level of anger that she's sitting there with a little girl. She's not harming the little girl. She's not doing no harm or nothing. She's, you know.
Maybe they were trying to pull in a little bit more reality of that time period.
Okay, this is a fairy tale. You don't need reality. Seriously.
I know, honey, but that may be what they're trying to do. And plus with some of the backstory that you, I don't want to spoil it, but there's another historical nod that...
They did use a little bit of history later.
That it does help explain some, and that's one of the nice changes, I think, some of the backstory stuff that they added a little bit.
Yeah.
I liked, that was a good change.
Yeah, so given some more backstory of, so we learn a little bit about Belle's mother, we learned about how the prince really had his behavior before he was turned into a beast, and we get to see a little bit of that. You know, he's even less likable at the beginning before he starts to change, which is actually one of my criticisms. I felt he would, when he's starting to kind of change and look at the world a little differently, thanks to Belle, he might have apologized for his behavior a little bit because he was worse than in the animated.
Yeah, they did, and that's the one thing with the animated. He was just a bad prince, and like nobody really explained.
He was just a spoiled rich boy, yeah, they with temper problems.
Didn't really explain beyond his temper, but this one really.
He was very snooty and spoiled, and one point he's upset I don't want to spoil anything, but let's just say it's not his idea to let Belle stay over in the East Wing. Mm-hmm. And when he finds out that, we're thinking that she could be the one, he's like, she's a commoner, what are you thinking? That's where you're like, ooh, you're nasty. But it's things like that, which I like, you know, making him worse so you can see a transformation. But it is a gradual transformation when they kind of bond and you see him slowly change. But I just felt as part of the change, he should look on his past misdeeds a little bit and want forgiveness for like, wow, I understand now I was really rotten. And
well,
I just felt he owed her an apology.
No, there wasn't an apology in there. You're right. And I mean, that would have been nice to have done. However, there was a moment where they added an extra line kind of in when the whole scene of him saving Belle from the wolves and she thanks him for saving her life. And he says, well, thank you for not leaving me to die.
Yeah.
You know, and in that, like, I'm not worth really saving, but you... came back.
Well,
it
is a little bit of the, I know I was horrible and you had every right to probably just leave me because you probably hated me, but you didn't.
Yeah.
And that is though also another nice thing, how they bond. That scene actually comes later. It doesn't come right after she's pulled him in. She's treating his wounds. Because some of the lines are directly lifted from the original movie of like, oh, hey, that hurt and stuff. And well, if you didn't sit still, you know, wouldn't hurt as much. But there isn't a thank you that happens right then. So I was like, this should be the beginning of the bonding. But they take some time with Beast has to heal, and she continues to nurse him, and as you start to see the change when she comes in to take care of him, and he smiles. Like, hey, I appreciate you doing this. It's like, it's suddenly, now it meant something to him, so I was like, there it is. And then we get, I don't want to spoil anything, but we don't have an illiterate Beast. This took more of the perspective, he's a prince, he talks about his expensive education, and that's how he has this giant library, but they talk books. And how you see them bonding is over stories they've read and all the books she hasn't gotten to read that he's like, well, no, here, you know.
That honestly is probably my favorite change
in the
movie that they did, that they added it in.
He's kind of a book, because imagine you've been cooped up in this castle this time. What else you got to do but to read these books? And he's got opinions and he's memorized passages. She starts quoting some sort of poem and he finishes it. And it's just like, I like to see now that she's got somebody she's got something in common with that just need to work off the edges. That was great. I did like that.
So and I think we can agree that that was the part of the movie that we really liked the best, was that the taking the time with
the
romance
and the
relationship. The criticism, I think, that we both would agree on is the speed of which you get to that point. You know, it seemed like we went through the motions of going through all the beginning stuff before we got to the castle and actually went through them really quick, yeah. In my opinion.
We didn't get a chance to really bond with Lumiere and Cogsworth. They're like afterthoughts. But yet the movie tries to get you to care about these characters because by the end we're going to focus more on their effects of the curse than we are the beast. It spends all your time there showing them suffering of, oh, we're going to become inanimate objects entirely. But I was like, you know, I don't actually care about these characters so much. I only care about them because of the 1991, and I love the characters then. So, and this movie heavily borrows on your charm and memories of the original to get you to carry you through this one.
Yeah, I do have to fault them for the pacing.
Yeah, because it is really rushed feeling at the beginning until you get to the castle, and then you get to broaden the story.
It almost felt like let's hurry you up to this stuff that we know it's like, from the old one.
Here, you know this character already. Mm-hmm. Here, like, you know, let me just show you this character because you know that character. Oh well, you know this character already. Here, you know.
And now we're gonna hurry through all that stuff that you know about. So let's just show you all the things that we just changed to make this so much better. Which we're not always so much better.
And a scene that should have been in there that was dropped was the nice little bit where the Beast is talking to Cogsworth. It's like, wow, you know, I've never felt like anything like this, and I want to do something for her. That's gone. He just takes her straight to the library because they've kind of bonded a little bit over the book. But that's a really good moment in the original movie because it gets to see where he's changing and he's thinking about someone else. You get the gradual change where he's, you know, unlocking, you know, his potential self and getting to think of outside himself and actually learning to care about somebody.
And see, I think they took that out, but they replaced it with a new music number. About, you know, she kind of snuck into my heart without...
That's at the end, though. That's after it's all over. This is development we needed as it's going.
Well,
I mean, we get the relationship developing, but and we see the Beast is different, but it's nice to get that work into where you see him changing a little bit. And you know, I'm glad they did keep in the soup eating to see him trying to be more human.
That was funny.
And there's a very cute bit there because they've been sitting at opposite ends of the table. And there's a cute bit. You know, they've been reading at the table separately sometimes. But
it's just not a spoiler.
No, because it's such a little thing. It's very cute. At one point, he gets up from his side of the table and goes to sit next to her. And kind of like, is this okay? Can I sit next to you? You know, there are little things like that that it's worth. Go see this. It's definitely worth it. I mean, if you love the 1991, you carry that love in, and it's just going to help you like this movie. But don't expect it to be the same. But there's enough good stuff in here. And even making Gaston worse. Because Gaston,
he's totally unlikable by the end.
In the original one, he's that enjoyable villain. In this one, you hate that sucker by the time you get to it. And I don't want to spoil anything, but there are some interesting character things that do happen because he is that nasty. That
there's a turn.
I wasn't even going to say that much, but yes.
Yeah.
Which was very intriguing. So overall, I give this an endorsement. You got to go check it out, because I think you will enjoy it if you give it a fair chance, lower your expectations, and let them impress you. Because it is visually impressive. The new songs are, well, at least one of the new songs I really like. Some of the new songs are kind of, but it is Alan Menken with Tim Rice, and that's good. I mean... There's no music over from the Broadway musical, which disappoints me. Although, and one of the scenes...
Because we like those songs from the musical.
But you will hear hints of Home when Belle is in her room. You'll hear that in the scoring. So it's kind of there. The songs aren't there. But I give this a... I'll give it a one thumbs up. I said two thumbs up. You know, myself. But I guess it was supposed to be two people with two thumbs up. But I did enjoy this. I still love the 91 one better. But I did like this.
I did come home and watch the original one.
I did too, because you started watching it while I was kind of dozing on the couch. I'm like, no, I want to kind of go watch it too.
I kind of wanted to compare because it had been a while since I'd seen it. And I didn't see it immediately before I went into the movie, which is probably
I was thinking about watching it again. I was like, nope, let me go in there fresh.
But just, you know, coming back and like, because the original, I didn't realize it was as short as it was. Like
it was not
even 2 hours at all. This one, the new one, is over two hours.
It took him that long to tell.
Just to compare the pacing, because I felt like the new one was very rushed at certain points.
Yeah.
And the other one never felt that way, but you felt like you still went through a big journey in a short amount of time. So that's why I went back and rewatched it.
Yeah. But we need to keep moving here with the show, because I want to take a ride here on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Take a ride at a Disney park. Let's Too late to alter course, mateys, and there be plundering pirates lurking in every cove, waiting to board. Sit closer together and keep your ruddy hands inboard. That be the best way to repel boarders. And mark well me words, mateys, dead men tell no tales. Ye come seeking adventure and salty old pirates, eh? Sure, you've come to the proper place. But keep a weather eye open, mates, and hold on tight, with both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead, and Davy Jones waiting for them what don't obey.
Fear have ye of evil curses, says you. Properly warned ye be, says I. Who knows when that evil curse will strike the greedy beholders of this bewitched treasure?
Perhaps he knows too much. Ye've seen the cursed treasure. Ye know where it be hidden. Now proceed at your own risk. These be the last friendly words ye'll hear. You may not survive to pass this way again.
Dead men tell, now tell.
Strike your colors, you bloomin' cockroaches! By thunder, we'll see you to Davy Jones! He needs persuasion, mates. Fire at will!
Two shadows, Captain! One clean through the mizzen
mast! Cut the ruddy wreckage away! Stand by as your guns bear! Surrender, you lily-livered lovers! Another broadside and you goes down with the tide. Give it to him again, lad. Aye, that'll show the bilge rats. Avast, your scurvy scum. Run up your white flag.
We will never surrender.
Very well, then. Give him a broadside. Pound him, lad. Pound him.
Down on number four, gun.
We're gonna sink your stinky ship, you. Take him below. Clear the decks, lad.
Pipe the lubber aloft, matey. Speak up, you bilge rat. Where be the treasure?
Do not tell him, Carlos. No.
Scuttle, you cockroach.
No, por favor, no!
Pipe him aloft again, matey.
Be brave, Carlos. Don't listen to him.
By gum, he'll talk, or do a fine dance at rope's end. Be that clear, senor?
Don't tell him, Carlos. Don't be chicken.
Scuttle the scum.
Scuttle the scum.
I am no chicken. I will not talk.
We anchor now, you swabbies. What be I offered for this winsome wench? Stout-hearted and corn-fed,
she be. It be a stouter by the pound.
Shift your cargo, dearie. Show them your larboard side.
We watch the redhead.
Belay there, you fo'c'sle swab.
Watch the redhead.
Redhead.
We watch the redhead.
Avast there.
And now, you bilge rats, do I hear six? Who makes it six?
Six should be. Bottles of rum.
I'm not sponging for rum. It be gold I'm after. Strike your colors, you brazen wench. No need to expose your superstructure.
Hurry it up, boy. Come on now.
We watch the redhead.
We watch the redhead.
Quiet, you
Oh, shiver me so. It's dead wore out, are they? Am I too fast these lock-footed wenches be for the likes of an old swag-bellied pirate such as I? Now, where be that fascinating little old treasure, eh? Heave to, mateys. Say, have you set your eyes on a bewitching maiden in your travels? Oh, she be a lively lassie, she were. Oh, I tell you true, it's sore I be to hoist me colors on the likes of that shy little wench. Favor, keep a weather eye open, mateys. I be willing to share, I be.
Kitty, kitty, kitty.
Have a little old time rub with old Bill, eh? Come on now, be a nice little pussycat. Oh, you be a feisty one, you be.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We extort and pilfer and filch and sack. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Me rot and embezzle and even hijack. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho.
Yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We kindle and char and flame and ignite. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We burn up the city, we're really a fright. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We're rascals, scoundrels, villains, and knaves. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We're devils and black sheep, really bad eggs. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
We kidnap and rabbits, you don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo, yo,
ow, a pirate's life for me.
Up, me hearties, yo ho. We moor off the vessel and even hijack. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho.
Whoop,
yo ho,
yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
The excellent delusions in sack. Up, me hearties, yo ho. Tell a lot here. Ha, 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 ha. Yo-ho! Yo-ho!
Yo-ho! Kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. I'm playing. Yo-ho, yo-ho, pirate's life for me.
Say, grab his ears.
Work him over to the noose. Go on now, hold it higher. Higher, I say, higher.
Oh, a mangy mutt. Hit him with a soup bone.
Here, doggy. Here, doggy. Nice doggy.
Belay that talk. We want the keys, not the mutt, you swab. Can't you reach any further, you stub-winged bilge rat?
Grab his tail. Go on, grab it. Don't
here
scare
you go,
him.
Dearie. Come on, have a nice bone, eh? That's a good lad. Come on now.
Oh, steady now. Steady. Here, that's it. Zip the cape over his ruddy neck.
Pass there, Rover. It's us what needs your ruddy help, not them blasted lubbers. Or that blasted pocket-picking pirate.
Bring old Bill them nice keys.
Blasted black-hearted cur.
Here you be, Spot. How's about a nice juicy bone?
Over here, Spot, over here. Now, easy, boy.
Yo, oh, yo, oh, a pirate's life for me. We pillage and plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearties, yo, oh. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a loot. Drink up, me hearties, yo, oh. Ow,
yo,
oh,
ho, yo, oh, ho, oh, oh, a pirate's life for me. The extra person is inside. Up, me hearties, yo, ho. Tell a lot here.
A Harper City. Really a fright, they got me, honey. Rascal, scoundrels, villains, and knaves, they got me, honey. Oh, devils and black sheep are really bad eggs.
Alrighty, now, this is going to be fun. This should be fun. 10 things, because of 50 years of Pirates of the Caribbean, 10 things you probably, maybe, didn't know about Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
Of the ride.
Alright, lay it on me.
Number one, it was actually the first ride that Walt Disney himself personally oversaw. In fact, it opened in March, then he died in December in 1966.
You mean it was the last...
So this was his last attraction that he actually looked over.
You said first, but it's last.
No, it's the first item of 10.
Oh, first item, I gotcha.
But it's the last ride.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so it's the last thing that Walt Disney had his hands on.
Okay.
Now, the ride was really great in Disneyland, and when they were building Orlando, they did not have plans to build it because Walt had thought, well, they are in the Caribbean. They don't really want this. There's part of it. Mm-hmm. But it turns out, yes, they really wanted one, and so you get like a shortened version over in Orlando, which is still very cool. But compared to what I've seen of the one in Disneyland, I'm like, wow, they got the lesser end of the stick. There's so much more in Disneyland, and I'm really eager to go and check it out.
Florida's got a lot of other things, though, too.
Everglades, yes. But second one.
Oh, okay. So I get to read the second. Okay.
Yes.
So number two, the animation. Whoop, you moved it too fast. Sorry. Animation greats voiced the pirates.
Yes.
So people such as Paul Frees.
Yes, the ghost host himself and so many other things. Oh, my gosh.
Yep, and he also did Ludwig von Drake.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, and lots of other other characters. Okay, we had Jay Ward.
We could go through a long list of Paul Frees characters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Rankin Bass. So we had
Jay Ward did a lot of Rankin Bass.
Thurl Ravenscroft, which is my favorite bass voice, I think, of all times.
He's great.
Yes, there's other bass voices out there, but he's probably my favorite one.
Yep.
Okay.
He even does a really cool. There was an album that they put out that kind of tells the story of it, which it's really long, so I don't have time to play that right now. I think I have played it in the past, where he's narrates like he's taking you through the ride, similar to that Haunted Mansion one where it's Ron Howard and stuff like that. It's a really cool audio with Thurl. Plus, you can always recognize his deep singing voice, him and the Mellow Man. Mm-hmm. So. Alrighty. Now, this is something I have heard about. I've had people tell me this stuff about it, but I don't recall seeing it. But okay, so as you're approaching the ride, there's a couple of skeletons, and they're playing chess. Now, there's a rumor that states that the board is set up in a stalemate, implying that the two pirates are playing the game, and they're just unable to move, and they just both died playing. But I've also heard that some of the cast members sometimes like to rearrange the pieces around a little bit.
And there are
some photos that show that the pieces aren't in a stalemate configuration. So apparently, maybe the cast members are getting into moving around, but the idea was maybe it was supposed to be a stalemate that they never finished. Because that is interesting. You got two people who apparently look like they died playing chess. Mm-hmm. So that is funny to me, a stalemate.
All right. And then number four, the cannonballs are an illusion.
Wow, that's shocking. Did you actually think they would be firing cannonballs over your head? Honestly, this somebody thought was something you didn't know.
I don't know.
And it's a really cool effect. Now you haven't gotten to see the effect, but cannons, it's got like a flash of kind of orange light, and it puffs out these, like dry ice or steam or whatever. So you see this blasting thing, and the water can poof. It's a really good effect, but honestly, this is something that somebody thought and people didn't know and added to this list I found.
Well, it looks like they updated it with some air cannons to make some, like,
well, yeah,
you know, splashes and make it more believable. So,
but you know, honestly, if you thought cannonballs were really being fired over your head, then seek mental help, because honestly, they're not going to fire cannonballs over your head.
Okay. Anyway, let's move on to number five.
All right, the original ride was racy. Yes, I have heard all kinds of stuff because they're pirates. They're not supposed to be well behaved, and there was a lot of stuff. You know, they were chasing the women around and stuff like that. Harry said the lady was chasing them with a rolling pin and stuff like that. But now it's changed to where the women that they are kind of following around have food, so they're trying to get the food, and they're actually being chased by the women. And it's not, you know, although you could consider that the auction scene is still a little racy because they're auctioning off women, but these women seem to be very willing to go along. When, that's kind of just a funny little add-on scene. Normally, it's like, no, we ain't auctioning you off. We're taking you on the boat, and you ain't going to like it, you know. They're pirates. They pillage and don't give a hoot, you know. Let's put it like that. So, you know, shocking. Yes, it was a little bit racy, and it's gotten a little milder. And some people have complained that it's it has gotten milder. But it's trying to be more playful. And, you know, I understand you don't want to be that rough. But some people thought, well, it wasn't that bad before. But so, well, you know, it's okay. And nobody likes it when they change one of these rides when they're classic. But I first got to see it and it had Johnny Depp all over the place. And I was kind of not pleased that there was too much Johnny Depp, in my opinion.
Okay, so moving on. So we got a Secret to the Fire effect. Yes. And it's pretty simple. And actually, I've kind of seen some of this on like some Halloween, you know, kind of decoration. Yeah. So you got a combination of cloth, fans, and lights. So it looks like it's flickering and like the town is really burning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they get that wind blow so it wriggles. And then it's got the right the color combination. It
apparently, is a very it's cool fooled effect. Some writers. So this was one to include.
They thought maybe they did. Well, yeah, I could see people thinking that maybe they had some actual flames that were controlled. So it's not actually burning things. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool, and it's very similar actually to the effect in the Haunted Mansion where they have a little specter that's, you can tell it's kind of painted on a cloth if you really look, but they're blowing some air so it kind of wiggles on in this one particular scene. It's really a neat effect, and yeah, you've seen some of the stuff around Halloween. Mm-hmm. They are really cool. Alrighty, so one of the most memorable parts of Pirates of the Caribbean is, of course, its theme song. Which some people say it's as catchy as It's a Small World, but far less likely to drive you crazy. That's what's funny. But this actually was composed by George Bruins, who actually co-wrote The Ballad of Davy Crockett.
Which is also catchy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Lyrics are by Francis Xavier Atencio, better known as X Atencio, who also wrote the original script for the ride. And he's also the voice of the skull there, just saying, keep your weather eye open and keep your hands on board and, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He's also the voice in that. But he also wrote the lyrics for The Haunted Mansion. I mean, X Atencio. I mean, and I think he was one of the ones that he had never thought of writing, if I remember what I've heard. He's one of those people that Walt told him, hey, you know what? Do this. I know you've never done it before, but I believe you can. Walt was really good at that, of finding hidden talents that people didn't realize they had. But, you know, the lyrics are really cool for Yo-Ho and for the Haunted Mansion.
All right, and then number eight, The Tired Pirate Has Been Censored.
Yeah, and when you hear some of the audio original, which, they still put out on the soundtrack, It is a little racy because he's talking about this woman that he misses. Oh, but he's willing to share, and holy cow. And she was hiding in a barrel at the time behind him. I don't know that this is still in Disneyland. I know in Orlando he wasn't there, but you do see a point where there's a guy when he's got the key and he's talking about, oh, well, Jack Sparrow's never going to get the key. And Jack Sparrow is popping out of a barrel. But yes.
So they replaced the lust with gluttony.
So he's after food now. He's after some food now. Yeah. And X Atencio himself actually did not like the change and just called this new version Boy Scouts of the Caribbean. Which is funny. But I can understand, you know, it's a family park. And when you hear the audio, you know, the impression of like, hey, you know, let's do a little with this girl. You and me, we'll share her. That is too much, that I think. Further than I think that they should have gone. And I'm surprised it is out on that CD that I had Philip pick up for me actually in, I guess, in Walt Disney World. Their last trip, I had him pick up my CD, which is the audio you heard for the ride there a little bit ago. From parks to films and back again. So following the success, of course, of the movies, the Disneyland and Disney World ride was altered, including to include Captain Barbossa and Jack Sparrow. Now, you probably knew about this. Some of the best add-ins is Barbossa. I love having him being the captain on the ship because it doesn't take any away from the original ride. Although he is asking for them to give up Jack Sparrow instead of, hey, we're coming for your gold. But him, you know, being the captain of that ship and having a lot of the same dialogue fits right in, and I love it. it does bother me that they've made the story of the ride about Jack Sparrow being throughout the whole thing.
And changing of the story.
Changing the story. I love, however, if they would have just put the final scene where he's there with the treasure and he's saluting all his shipmates lost at sea and sings a little bit of the song. That's great. I love that. But that should have been all they did to put Jack in there. I don't think they should have changed the story of the ride, in my personal opinion. And I have seen, I've heard that maybe they've taken these back out, but they did add mermaids in Orlando that you kind of hear them singing.
Yeah.
And if you look in the water, you can kind of see them in there. And I haven't gotten to see it myself, but I have heard that they maybe have one that kind of pops up in front of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Which that was kind of weird, though. That was the weirdest version of mermaids I've ever seen in my life. And on Stranger Tides,
where they were actually carnivorous. Liked
them. It was kind of cool.
I like them.
And that's one of my favorite characters was the mermaid and the missionary. That's what kept me going through that movie. I thought they were great. But
because the mermaids aren't supposed to be nice. If you go back to folklore, they are not nice.
Yeah. Alrighty.
And then number 10 is Pirates in the Mist. Okay, so this is another movie-related addition. And so there is a waterfall.
Well, it's not really a waterfall. It looks like a waterfall, but it's that nice mist type of thing. And they project Davy Jones or Blackbeard. Although I have heard something about Blackbeard being removed and it's just Davy Jones now.
Mm-hmm.
Where he comes out and says a little thing anywhere where it's a dead man tell no tales. And he basically says, ah, but they do tell tales and I'm going to show you. And Disneyland, he pops up twice because at the end where he's kind of like, aha, see, I told you dead men tell tales. And next we meet, you're coming to my locker. Ha ha ha. That kind of thing. In Orlando, you don't get him at the end. He's just the one time. But some of these little facts, though, that they said 10 things you probably didn't know, you probably only didn't know if you've never ridden it before.
Well, I didn't know because I've never ridden it
before. Right. So hopefully if you've never ridden
this,
although
I did know about
the
voices. Like,
yes, some very famous voices. So hopefully there were some things you didn't actually know and that and you did enjoy that. But yeah, some of those lists, I wasn't that impressed. But it's still fun, you know, because
you read them anyway.
Years. Yeah, because it's, you know, 50 years of Pirates of the Caribbean and it is a fun ride. Now, I have 25 things that maybe you didn't know about the original 1991 Beauty and the Beast, but I got to share some stories of seeing it, and I wish, you know, like I had Philip here to share a story, because Philip and I, we were excited, because, you know, we're both, you know, Disney nuts. I wasn't as much of the junkie then as I am now. I'm even more so once I've been to the park. It's life-altering. But he found on, like, the Disney Channel that they were going to be playing the Peeble Bryson Celine Dion video, and he recorded it, and he brought it to church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, when we were in between Sunday school and church, he was like, oh, man, you got to see this. And we watched it, like, three times. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my gosh. You know, and I was super excited. And I remember it was at the Metro North Mall, back when it was still a full mall, and they had a little theater in there that I went to go see it. My brother and I went, but he didn't go to Beauty and the Beast. He went to go see some other movie. That was actually longer. It might have been an ice skating movie, I think. I don't know. I know at one point he went to Tombstone when the rest of the family went to somewhere else, and I saw Tombstone later, which is a great movie. But anyway, so I went, that's when I first saw it. It was the opening night of it. And I remember it was like the weather was kind of clear. It was, you know, it's November, late November. But when we got out of there, and I was just blown away. I mean, I was already very super excited, and I just came out of it like, wow. And I go outside, and it's just covered in snow, which seemed appropriate because there's a lot of snow in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So. But I just remember being completely blown away. And then the following year when it came out for Christmas, I had a really big Christmas thing where my parents got me that on VHS. And there was a lot of Batman stuff, too, because the Batman Returns had just come out that summer. So they got me a lot of Batman and Beauty and the Beast the entire Christmas. And I about wore that videotape out. I just adore that movie. So, and then, oh, we went together. We weren't married, I guess, at the time when they had the anniversary and they went and screened it at an IMAX and we saw it on the full-size IMAX screen,
yeah, that
not
was
a movie theater.
A date. That was a date. Yep.
And I remember the main thing that I remember about that is when Gaston, when you see him fall away, you can actually see him just poop disappear when it's on when the screen's blown up.
Yeah, it was so huge.
So now I thought it was funny. I was trying not to laugh, you know, but Gaston just disappears. And it was nice having Human Again put back in, which by this time I was familiar with the song because as soon as I heard about the Broadway musical and I saw in the Disney store a cassette tape of the musical version, I had to get it. You know, it was great and I loved all the new edition songs. Unfortunately, songs are in the live action movie. Not even Human Again, but, you know, it's okay. That's a whole other story. It's still worth seeing. But yeah, so that's my major memories. When did you first see it?
Okay, well, I did get to see it in the movie theater, and we did not often go to the movies as a kid. Now I went to, like, you know, summer things when, like, movies would be shown in the summer for, like, a summer, you know, camp kind of thing. But I'd seen A Little Mermaid, which is one of my favorite fairy tales, And then the other, my other favorite fairy tale, which probably is more of my favorite, is Beauty and the Beast. And so I remember seeing the commercials on TV and being, you know, really excited about it. And so I did see it in the movie theater, and I didn't have the buildup like, you know, you had with yours, but I was, you know, glad to be able to go and see it. And so I enjoyed it. It's honestly, Belle is my princess. If everybody has like a Disney princess, like she is mine. And identified with her a lot, being kind of the bookworm that I am and all that kind of stuff. So, love Beauty and the Beast. And, we went to the Starlight. Well, there's another
thing we went to see. I think that's the first time I saw the Broadway musical. We saw the Starlight. Mm-hmm. We saw a homeschool group that had done it. Actually did a better job
really?
Than Starlight. It was impressive.
Yes, it was a really good job.
I've also seen a mediocre job done by our Gladstone Theater thing when they do it at the free theater in the park and it's free. Mm-hmm. I was not impressed with their version.
Well, anyway.
But you know, I was with some people that had never mm-hmm. seen it before and they really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know, I've seen it done better by a homeschool mm-hmm. group. But it's still always fun to see. Mm-hmm. It's still a good show.
So, you know, like I said, it's one of my favorite fairy tales, yeah. You know, honestly, of what I have seen.
But
so.
We do have 25 facts, yep. And we're going to have to move quickly because I think we're running out of time.
I'm sure we are.
All right, so fact number one, Beauty and the Beast was more than 50 years in the making because it was one of the first fairy tales that Walt Disney had tried to adapt after his first successful feature, which is 1937, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. But as in a lot of different things, they wanted to even do the Ice Queen, which later became Frozen, and they couldn't find an angle on it that would be successful.
Number two, before the Disney cartoon, the most famous version of Beauty and the Beast was a 1946 live-action film by Jean Cocteau.
Cocteau, I think.
Whatever. From this classic French film, the Disney version would borrow the ideas of a rival suitor for Belle and household objects coming to life in the Beast Castle.
I would like to see it. I've heard so much about it. A lot of people have told me
yeah.
It's good.
Let's
see. Well, starting in 1987, the Disney storyboard artist spent 2 years working on a version of the tale, only to have Disney Studio Chief Jeffrey Katzenberg scrap their work and start from scratch. The new directive, make a movie like Disney's recent success, The Little Mermaid, a Broadway-style musical with a strong heroine.
And, of course, to that end, Katzenberg enlisted the Mermaid songwriting team of Alan Menken and Howard Ashman.
Good move.
Ashman was dying of AIDS at the time and couldn't travel far. So much of the story's development took place at a residence inn in Fishkill, New York, which is not far from where the lyricist lived.
Now, and I've heard from, like, some performers when you watch the special features, like Paige O'Hara, Howard Ashman mm-hmm. was there, and nobody knew he was dying. Mm-hmm. You know, they kept it pretty quiet. Okay, well, screenwriter Linda Wolverton, which I think they should have given her a credit in the live action because they really did try to borrow a lot from her. Mm-hmm. But she landed the job despite having written only a few scripts for Disney cartoon series Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. That would be a heck of an endorsement to me. I loved Rescue Rangers. But she made a good point of making Belle an unusual Disney heroine because she wasn't a princess. Which, at that time, yeah, was kind of unusual. She liked books, she was independent, and had absolutely no interest in marrying Gaston because, you know, he's the most handsome and eligible man. But that's, of course, just following story. I wouldn't say that's like this surprise. I mean, but, of course, she had no interest. I mean, that's, yeah.
All right. And then Katzenberg also hired relative neophytes, Kirk Wise and Gary Truesdale to direct their...
Trousdale. Gary Trousdale.
To
direct it. They previously have been done a short. They did Cranium Command, which is actually at Epcot.
Okay.
Which is really, I think, Inside Out kind of borrowed from Cranium Command a lot. So another unlikely hire, Robbie Benson. Which, you know, a lot of younger people, you probably have no idea who Robbie Benson was. Mm-hmm. But I remember seeing him in Ice Castles.
That's the skating one.
Yeah, that's the skating one. Not the one that my brother had went to time. But he's very, very kind of has a nice light voice, you know. But somehow or another, he got this deep rumble thing. And most of the voice he did for himself. Now, I remember seeing a review in the Kansas City Star where a reporter got a chance to talk to Robbie Benson and said, well, what sort of enhancement did they do to your voice? And he growled at them and says, what enhancement? Mm-hmm. And showed him, it's like, no, he could do it himself.
Which kind of leads us to the next one, that was his sound was his own, and the howls were electronically mixed of different kinds of animals, like panthers and lions.
So when you hear him making an animalistic sound, it really was. Mm-hmm. And they mixed, I think in the special features, they talk about using a bear and a lot of different stuff, because especially when he picks up the wolf and roar, you can hear that bear roar in there. So, which of course, yeah, makes sense because he can't make a bear noise, but he can give you that growl and that voice, and he did such a great job. Mm-hmm. I was surprised. I was like, that's Robbie Benson? So, yep. Well, for the other leads, Belle and Gaston, Disney went with seasoned Broadway performers, which is Paige O'Hara and Richard White, which listen to Disney Indiana, their previous recording. They actually had a convention that Tracy got to go to with Paige O'Hara and Richard White. And she's got a really great recording with those two at this convention, which is fabulous. Go check out Disney Indiana's last show from last weekend. They only do a show every other weekend, so it should be their primary one in the feed. If you haven't heard it, go check it out.
And so they also had some other movie veterans and TV characters that had been on Broadway as well, such as Jerry Orbach, which is Lumiere, Angela Lansbury as Mrs. Potts, and David Ogden Stiers, which was Cogsworth.
Also the narrator at the beginning. He did an excellent job. All right, as Chip, the teacup, who is Mrs. Potts' son, Bradley Michael Pierce, initially had just one line of dialogue, but the boy so impressed the filmmakers that they expanded his part and cut out the role of a mute music box. I didn't know that. That's very cool.
That's a good change, though.
Yeah.
Okay, and years before Toy Story, Beauty marked one of Disney's first collaborations with Pixar. And I do remember the computer animation being one of the things that were advertised for this. So this was kind of the first time where they had a 360 degree ballroom scene and have all of these, you know, the software manipulating some of the scenes.
It seems like nothing now, but at the time that was mind blowing. And it's still impressive for a state. I still love that.
Yes.
It still looks good.
You can't tell that it's a computer. And some of the
You can tell it's not hand-drawn. But,
yeah. I mean, some of the earlier things really filling with computers, you could tell that it was a computer, you know.
Yeah. And Howard Ashman was 40 when he died in March of 1991, 8 months before the release of the completed film, which he never got to see, which is very sad. He'd also been at work with Alan Menken on some lyrics for the next Disney feature, Aladdin, which Tim Rice came along to finish out Aladdin, which is why I was excited about the idea of Tim Rice coming along to help out with, well, he helped out with both the Broadway musical and with the live action film. That's just great getting him back with Alan Menken.
And so the release in November of 1991, the film was an instant success. And Frank Rich, the New York Times, who's a powerful theater critic, asserted that it was a much better musical than anything he'd seen on Broadway that year.
Wow.
That
was really, and it was actually third highest grossing movie in 1991 after Terminator 2, Judgment Day, and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Of course, I didn't see Terminator 2 in the theater, but I did see Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves in the theater. Beauty and the Beast, I probably would have went twice given I had the cash flow. Mm-hmm. All right, Beauty became the first animated film ever to be nominated for the Academy Award for Best Picture. And it was also the last. And, well, Up actually got a nod for Best Picture? I don't recall that because they created Best Animated Feature specifically because of that, because the Academy didn't really want to give it to an animated feature because it's kind of like with Tron. They thought Tron, with all of its effects, it was like, quote-unquote, cheating. They never gave credit for something just remarkable, and it should have won Best Picture, and I'm still mad about it to this day that they gave it to Silence of the Lambs, which I will admit, Silence of the Lambs is great for what it is. I'm just not a fan of that type of movie, honestly.
I'm not a fan of that type of movie either.
But Beauty and the Beast, oh, I was pulling for it, and I was just, okay.
But Beauty did win two Oscars for its musical score and Best Original Song for the title tune.
This is one of the few times I actually would watch the Oscars. I remember they had the cast come out to perform Belle. Mm-hmm. And they had a little village thing out there, and Paige O'Hara came out, and all the voices that came out and played their roles and performed the song all on stage. It was awesome. I loved it. So the Celine Dion, Peebo Bryson version of the song, which was heard over the end credits, actually became a top 10 hit single in the US and the UK, and was really the beginning of taking a major song and having some pop stars come and record it and release it on the radio. That kind of carried on for a good long time, and they still do it today. We got three songs actually on this soundtrack.
Okay, so when the film was released to Chinese language markets, the Beast speaking and singing voices were dubbed by Jackie Chan.
Awesome!
Which is cool. Yeah.
That is, I dig it. I kind of want to see it just for that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what they were saying.
Well,
I would know what they're saying because I'm so familiar with the movie. Mm-hmm. But I would just want to hear Jackie Chan being the Beast. I want to hear him growl, you know? You can imagine that the Beast doing kung fu, you know, and being that fast. That'd be awesome. Okay, well, inspired by Frank Rich's comment, which we mentioned earlier, Disney developed Beauty and, of course, in the first of many Broadway musicals based on animated features. It opened in 1994, ran for 5,464 performances, making it the eighth longest running show in Broadway history. And after 13 years, unfortunately, Disney closed the show in 2007, only because it didn't want Beauty stealing the thunder for its new princess theme musical, The Little Mermaid, which so far I've not heard that many good reviews. Although it's going to be at Starlight this year, I kind of want to go just to see it. Although Scott and Tracy of Disney Indiana were not that impressed with the touring version, so maybe I'll sit this one out. Although that is, it's not my absolute favorite Disney movie, but it is still my favorite Disney princess. Because Ariel is the first one of the princesses that actually made me laugh. So I do like her. It's just fun when she can't talk. The personality comes out that they did with the animation is great. I love that. So.
Okay,
it has nothing to do with my thing for redheads, but maybe it does.
You have a thing for redheads. You're just in denial about it. All right, the film spinoff included two straight-to-video midquels, so sequels that takes place amid the original events. So Belle's Enchanted Christmas and Belle's Magical World are those two spinoffs, and then there's some other in the live-action TV series. Sing Me a Story with Belle, and as well as six video games.
Which I don't know how they squeeze it in, because it's hard to understand the time frame of how long everything takes place in that movie. They seem to have fixed that a little bit with the live action. You kind of get a bit more idea of some time passing.
Yeah, and the original, it doesn't seem like there's really a lot of time. We got to move this thing along. Yeah, the pedals are dropping.
Those extra straight to video things were I didn't bother watching because they were just that push along kind of thing. So I wasn't really that concerned with it. All right, now as we've already mentioned, in 2002, IMAX actually had a re-release with The Human Again, which actually had been deleted from the original film, which is great because, you know, Jerry Orbach had passed away at that time, so I'm glad that they had the original recordings of the song, and, you know, the scene, had been animated, but they just didn't finish it up because they decided not to use it. I am not sure why they didn't use it, because it is a great song. The only criticism I kind of had of when it was put back in is it almost makes the castle seem more cleaned up because they took all the time to clean up the castle, and I like the transformation of the evil looking dark castle becoming the nice light one when the enchantment is lifted. And I think they dealt with it actually nicely in the live action movie. I don't think this would be much of a spoiler, but you can see half the castle is dilapidated, dark, and scary on the west side, and then the east side of it is still nice, but you get the idea that every time a petal falls, part of the castle is crumbling. So it's like this progressive from west to east, the castle's coming apart. So I like how they dealt with that in the live-action movie. And I can now think of it that way with the animated one, that half the castle is still looking okay as the castle's slowly falling to ruin to be restored by magic later.
Okay. So back to this one. Wolverton went on to the co-write Disney's... went on to co-write Disney's The Lion King and Mulan. She wrote the studio's huge 2010 blockbuster version of Alice in Wonderland, which I liked, even though you didn't.
Which, it's lame.
I liked it.
It made a lot of money because people went to it, but I think it really shows a lot that the Looking Glass bombed. Because people were not that impressed. People rushed out, oh, look, a live action Alice in Wonderland. And then...
I actually liked the Looking Glass a little better.
I know. You're alone.
Mostly. Okay, then I'll be alone. I like Alice and all of her adventures.
Yeah, I prefer the animated. I love it. Well, I like but the animated. The live too. Action I was a letdown.
Anyways,
Wise and Trousdale went on to work on such Disney features as The Lion King, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, very underrated, but I love that one, and Atlantis: The Last Empire, which I saw once. I barely remember, but a lot of people consider that to be very underrated as well. Yeah, I think you've watched it a bit more recently, haven't you?
Yeah, I think I did.
It was on Netflix. Yeah. So. Yep.
I still say you look like the one guy in Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Who?
The guy who's like whatever the head of the gypsies that has the dark hair.
Oh, I got that all the time because I used to be that skinny. Yes, I know exactly what goofy. You mean. Yes, I had the exact same hair for a while and the little goatee back when I was about the age that when that movie came out. I did look exactly like that. Yes, believe me, I heard it a lot.
Oh, I still love you. All right, O'Hara turned up, along with several other actresses that did Disney voices for 2007's Enchanted.
Oh, which I got a kick out of. That was great.
Okay, and she appeared as a soap opera actress on TV, and in a scene echoing the one where Belle tends to be swoons. And, of course, her character's name was Angela, an apparent reference to Angela Lansbury, who was
which
also
is pretty
in
cool.
Beauty and the Beast.
So, yeah, I almost would want to see a video where somebody keeps a princess count of all of them that managed to show up, because I wouldn't have recognized all of them that showed up in Enchanted. But in the wake of the success in September of the 3D re-release of The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast will be re-released in 3D in theaters on January 13th. How old is this article? This was back in 2011. Do you recall Beauty and the Beast being released in 3D? I don't think it happened.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so that last fact I should have thrown out. I should have read this over and thrown that one out because I don't believe it happened.
Edit.
Yeah, well, because if it would have, which this live action is available in 3D, but if this had been re-released in theaters in 3D, I would have went just to go watch it again on a big screen, to tell you the truth. But those are some fun facts that I found, at least an interesting article online with some great memories of Beauty and the Beast. But with that, we're really out of time. Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you.
Yeah! Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.